Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. Good to be with you again. When I was heavily entrenched in the New Age, Edgar Cayce was a big hero of mine. So I wanted to talk to him because there are, or well, talk to you about him. But there are a lot of Christians today who are confused, and really New Agers too. There's a lot of New Agers and Christians who are confused whether he was a real Christian prophet or if he was demonically influenced in some way. So I wanted to talk about that today. A little while ago, actually a few years ago, I did a video called Edgar Cayce's Demonic Prophecy of Russia in World War III, WW3 Exposed. You can still find that on this channel, although it has been demonetized, of course, because that's YouTube. But I was surprised by the amount of passion in the responses in the comment section from New Agers, and just the vitriol that came from that video. Now, I'm not in this video, I'm not going to insult Edgar Cayce or anything like that, but I do want to talk about this question. Now, for those who aren't familiar with me and my testimony, I'll just run through it real brief because this might be the first time that you've seen any of my videos. And we have touched on it in other videos before, but just for those who aren't familiar, and I'll try to fill in some of the gaps that I left before. So this is not going to be a rehash of the same short version of my testimony you got in a previous video. This will fill in some more of the gaps. But I was brought up in a Christian home, but in my early adulthood, I fell into New Age theology for a while. And it began because I was dealing with sleep paralysis, and I was also experiencing what I thought were demonic manifestations and attack. I still do think that, but I didn't know anything about spiritual warfare, and I had no idea how to solve this problem. But I confided in a friend about my problem, and she handed me a book about astral projection. And before that time, I'd never heard of such a thing. Her idea was that I could use astral projection, which is the process of meditating in order to leave your own physical body to escape the attacks. She thought I could do this to escape the attacks, and I felt it was worth a shot. Now, again, I didn't know anything about spiritual warfare. I was raised a Christian, but we didn't deal with a lot of that stuff. So none of this really seemed to be in conflict with my Christian upbringing. But I practiced and meditated, and I even became a vegetarian because it was something that the book suggested for 6 months before it actually happened, before the astral projection actually worked. And this was when I discovered that yes, astral projection is fully real. It's not just a dream. It's not just a hallucination or a product of imagination. It's nothing like that. Once I became better at it, I decided to test it. I would astral project into places I've never been before, and then later visit those places to see if the projections were accurate, and they were every time. Now, I quickly found out there would be no way astral projection could help me with my sleep paralysis and demonic attack problem because the type of meditation needed would have been impossible under such strenuous conditions. And in fact, there were times when meditations would spur on sleep paralysis and subsequent demonic manifestations. But regardless, I was already hooked. I didn't care. For me at the time, it was worth it. Now, by this time, I was becoming more and more entrenched in New Age theology, and one of my favorite people to read about was Edgar Cayce. Stories of him falling asleep on a Bible as a child and waking up with full recall of scripture absolutely fascinated me. Even the depiction of his self-sacrifice, continuing to use his gifts for the benefit of others until it eventually killed him, really spoke to me. And at the time, I was thinking, now here is a good man, and this is an example of what the world really needs more of. It was easy for me to justify Edgar Cayce's New Age theology by believing he was truly a Christian, and everything else he taught was just an extension of that. Now, of course, this was during a time when I wasn't taking the Bible very seriously, and I was actually going out of my way to ignore all of the inconsistencies between Edgar Cayce and the Bible. Now, a couple of years after my first introduction to Edgar Cayce, I renounced everything New Age. The details of the reasons behind this decision are lengthy, and I wrote all about them in The Second Coming of the New Age, written by myself and Stephen Bancars, former very famous New Age writers. You could probably say infamous, but He converted to Christianity. He and I wrote The Second Coming of the New Age together. You can find that at skywatchtvstore.com or skywatchtv.com to watch the episodes that we recorded, or you can find them on TV. The television schedule for those episodes is, again, at skywatchtv.com. My whole testimony is in there, but The Second Coming of the New Age is not a book on just testimony. It's a lot more than that. So you can check that out. But that's where you can find more information. Now, the short version of the story is this. While astral projecting, I came across a group of spiritual beings who at the time seemed very friendly, and they told me they would like to help me leave my body if I asked them to. They said that the next time I tried to astral project to ask them for help if I couldn't leave my body. Now, sure enough, the next time I tried to do it, I was not able to leave my body. I couldn't. However, I decided not to ask these spiritual beings for help. Now, shortly after that, our home came under a spiritual attack that I didn't think was possible outside of horror movies. I mean, basically, these entities were upset that I didn't invite them in, so to speak. So they were trying to force their way in. They showed their true colors. They weren't these spirit guides, these benevolent beings that I thought they were. Because I found out that when you don't take their advice, they react very violently. So this put me on a path to getting back into the Bible, rededicating my life to Christ, learning about spiritual warfare, and using the authority in the name of Jesus to force these things out. And it worked. So not only did it solve that problem, but it also ended up completely solving my issue with sleep paralysis and demonic manifestations. Because of Jesus Christ, I no longer live in fear of those things. So this new spiritual transformation caused me to look at New Age theology through a more truthful lens. And suddenly I felt awake and couldn't believe the types of things that I was formerly involved in. Looking at Edgar Cayce through a biblical lens was especially eye-opening. And once I realized what a Christian actually is, any belief I had that Edgar Cayce was a true follower of Christ was dispelled. And I do want to talk about that because there might be some people watching who might still follow Edgar Cayce or enjoy his teachings, enjoy his prophecies, and don't see any harm in it. And first, I'm going to say I'm not going to insult anybody in this video. I'm not going to insult you if you happen to read his stuff, and I'm certainly not going to insult him. But I do want to give you a fresh perspective, a different perspective to at least weigh against your own. And if you still disagree, I would like to know. I would like to know the reasons why, or if there's something I haven't covered in this video, feel free to leave a comment in the comment section below and voice your opinion. When it comes to this stuff, I'm not going to delete comments. I mean, if you drop a bunch of F-bombs, I might. But if you actually want to even express your frustration with me for bringing up this topic, you're free to do that. I very rarely, pretty much never delete comments. So feel free to do that. And again, if you don't believe me, go check out Edgar Cayce's Demonic Prophecy of Russia and World War III Exposed, the video I did, and look through some of the comments there. I haven't deleted those. So now I want to be clear with this. I'm not saying that Edgar Cayce wasn't saved. Okay, there's a difference between being saved and being a follower of Christ. Every follower of Christ is saved. You know, you can't be a follower of Christ if you're not saved. But there are some people who get saved, you know, they accept Jesus in their heart and then they stop there. They don't pursue a relationship with Jesus any further than that for various reasons. Some don't know how. Some have a deathbed confession and they don't have time. Others, they just don't have it in them they don't have the type of personality to do that. Or they do it in really subtle ways where you could never tell. People are content where they're at. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why somebody might get saved, but then not choose to pursue a relationship with Jesus. So they have the bare minimum down of you know, being a follower of Christ. It's like this: you buy flowers for your wife because you're showing love to her because you've developed a good relationship. You don't buy her flowers so she will stay married to you, or so that you're like buying her off to stay in a relationship with you. You know, at least that's the way that it should be. You do it because you love her. Well, it's sort of the same with salvation and actually doing good works. You know, good works are not going to get you saved. You can be the best person in the world and it's not going to get you saved. It's not going to bring you eternally into heaven. That is a gift from Jesus. Now, if you enter into that covenant with Jesus, you can choose to just, you know, not do anything with it at that point, and you'll probably still go to heaven. But I don't know, you know, how thrilled Jesus would be about that, or where your status in heaven would be at that point. But or you can spend the rest of your life trying to develop a relationship with Jesus, learning more about him. And when you have that type of relationship, that turns into love, and then love will produce these good works. So you're not doing it because you feel like you have to, or you feel like you're buying your way into heaven. You're doing it because you genuinely want to, because you love Jesus and he died for you and you want to show him that. So that's how you become a better person. So there's a difference between salvation and being an actual follower of Christ. So I'm not saying that he wasn't saved, because I don't know. I don't know if any of us can know that about one another. You know, if somebody professes the name of Jesus as their personal savior, then yeah, I would say it's a safe bet that they're saved. Now, are they a Christian or not? Are they a true follower of Christ? So again, not saying Edgar Casey wasn't saved. I don't know. Besides God, no one can know that. And for all anyone knows, Casey could have repented at any point of in his life. He could have accepted Jesus just before he died. No one really knows. But again, as I said, being saved and follower of Christ are different. Accepting Jesus as your savior is the first initial step towards a relationship with God. Actively cultivating that relationship is what it means to be a follower of Christ. So Edgar Casey might have accepted Jesus at some point. He might be in heaven right now. We have no way of knowing that. However, we do have the information available to deduce, based on biblical premises, if he was a true follower of Christ or not during the point in his life where people typically will claim that he was a Christian prophet. So of course, one of the biggest things that we could look at are his prophecies. And this is actually what spurred on me wanting to do this video. So again, I said a while ago, I posted a video about one of Edgar Casey's prophecies involving Russia and World War III. And you can find that video on this channel. And I was very surprised, again, at the amount of passionate vitriol that came from New Agers who want to defend Edgar Casey, telling me I'm not Christian because I didn't accept his prophecies. So I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to talk about that again. But if, for those of you who haven't seen it, in the video, I put forth the possibility that Edgar Casey could have been under demonic influence rather than godly influence. You know, again, we have two choices here. Either he was a Christian prophet or not. Now, if he wasn't, then we would file that under the category of a demonic influence. So it's just about listening to both sides of the story and weighing them out and seeing what holds closer to reality. Now, this wasn't an attempt to insult Edgar Casey, only to provide another answer that I believe is more accurate based on the evidence. So in the comments, one of the things that was repeated the most by people was the claim that Edgar Casey was a Christian. You know, don't you know, Josh, he was a Christian. How can you say that he wasn't a Christian, Josh? You know, who gives you that right? So I felt it would be good to examine that claim and see if it holds up biblically. So in Jesus' own words, Matthew 7:15-20 reads, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So Jesus tells us that we can know somebody, specifically false prophets, by their fruits. What have they produced? What was the cause or motivation of their actions? Did they win people to the Lord, or did they lead them astray? Now, Edgar Casey is not known for bringing people to salvation through Jesus Christ. And in fact, Casey is most known for his large number of prophecies. Specific numbers vary on just how many prophecies and other writings there are of Casey's, but they are usually counted as somewhere around 20,000. He also had a vast array of teachings, including things about astral travel, the Akashic records, and reincarnation. Here's one source of interpretation of Edgar Cayce's teachings, and this comes from elamangordo.com/the-edgar-cayce-predictions. It says, quote, Cayce predicted that the so-called Battle of Armageddon, described symbolically in the Bible, would begin in 1999. Cayce foresaw that this battle will not be a war fought on earth. Rather, it will be a spiritual struggle between the higher forces of light and the lower forces of darkness for 1,000 years of earth time. The reason for this struggle is to prevent souls from lower afterlife realms from reincarnating to earth. By preventing souls from the lower afterlife realms from reincarnating to earth, only enlightened souls will be permitted to reincarnate. The result will be 1,000 years of building a world of peace and enlightenment. After 1,000 years, souls from lower afterlife realms will be permitted once again to reincarnate to earth. By this time, the so-called kingdom of heaven will have been established on earth, end quote. Now, this type of teaching is common in New Age theology, and I remember it quite well, but we can see how New Age theology and Edgar Cayce's teachings are incompatible with the Bible. Now, in this example, the first thing to point out is the Battle of Armageddon did not begin in 1999, clearly. Now, there's a lot of research behind what Armageddon means, Har Megiddo. Some people believe it's a Valley of Megiddo, but Derek Gilbert actually has puts out a very strong case, a very compelling case, when you really dig into the Greek and the Hebrew, that it's the Mount of Assembly or the Mount of Olives. And clearly, that has not happened. Jesus has not returned yet because we're still here. And, you know, just look at the world. There's still strife and turmoil. Also, there's nothing in the scriptures to signify this is meant to be understood as symbolic in the way that was interpreted in that quote that I talked about. So to be specific, let's read the text. The Revelation 16:16-21 reads, "And he gathered them together into a place in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And thereupon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Now we have very literal language used in much of this. Now, there is talk of angels, of course, but this is not an event that is happening only in heaven or in some spiritual location. We read about an earthly place called Armageddon in the Hebrew language, a physical earthquake, an earthly city, earthly islands, earthly mountains, earthly men, and hail falling on the earth. And we know that these men were physical because if they were spiritual, why would the hail bother them? You know, these are all physical and literal things mentioned throughout the text. So if Edgar Cayce taught the battle would not be on earth, we have a choice to make. Are we going to believe Edgar Cayce or are we going to believe the Bible? Do we think that his interpretation holds more weight than what is, you know, by and large accepted when you read out that scripture? It sounds like very literal language. Now, can you turn it into something else? Yes, you can do that with any Bible passage. You can do that with any bit of writing that's ever been written. But is that what makes the most sense when you read the text? You know, either the Bible contains the truth or not. Biblical teachings compared against Edgar Cayce's teachings offer no middle ground or compromise here. Now, reincarnation is a big belief taught by Cayce and other more modern New Age sources. However, Hebrews 9:27 states, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So that's the chain of events. You know, we live, we die, we're judged. That's the chain of events. We don't come back. And so again, we have another choice to make. Are we going to believe Edgar Cayce or the Bible? The Bible teaches once you die, you're sealed in your eternal choice. This is the one physical life we get. There is an afterlife, but you don't get another physical life. You're not reborn into the world again. Either you have accepted Jesus or rejected him. Either you have followed God or you haven't. It's sealed in eternity. Casey taught reincarnation, that choice was not sealed in eternity, that you have multiple reincarnations. You have multiple attempts to evolve and spiritually mature. So these two beliefs cannot go hand in hand without compromising one or the other. So then the question inevitably comes up, you know, did Edgar Cayce actually have prophecies that turned out true? Yes, he did. In fact, he is regarded as one of the greatest worldly prophets because based on certain estimations, he has over an 80% accuracy rating. Now, does this mean that he was a Christian, though? Does this mean that it must have been a power from God and he must have been a Christian prophet? You know, quite simply, the answer is no. The Bible teaches that anything less than 100% accuracy in the realm of prophecy is unacceptable. And in fact, in the ancient days of Israel, one false prophecy was enough to earn a death sentence. And this is because any prophecy of God will come to pass exactly as it was prophesied. However, a prophecy by any other source will never be able to have that kind of accuracy. This is how we can tell if a prophet is representing God or not. Yahweh, the God of the Bible, takes prophecy very seriously. Jesus consistently warned against false prophets, and the Old Testament gives us the method to tell if a prophet is true or false. Now, of course, when we say the word prophecy, we're not always talking about telling the future. That can be part of it, but prophecy is more the gift of speaking for God. God tells you things and then you go and tell everybody else. So Deuteronomy 18, 19 through 22 reads, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him." Okay, so therefore, we have we once again have a contradiction between the Bible and Edgar Cayce. So which do we trust? You know, the Bible holds up to its own teachings by providing a 100% prophetic accuracy rating. And if you don't believe me, well, think about it this way. I mean, if there was any inaccurate prophecies, the Bible should be pretty easy to disprove by now. Yet nothing credible has come to light where anybody's successfully been able to do that. You can look up a book called, I think it's 500 Prophecies Revealed by Dr. Ken Johnson. And that goes through a lot, like it goes through 500 Bible prophecies and shows how they were fulfilled, which is phenomenal. But all the prophecies that are not still future, they've all been fulfilled in the way that they said. And there's a lot of them that are very specific. So some of them are more vague and lend additional details to other more specific prophecies. But there are many where there's specific dates, specific people, even people named by name before they were even born from another country, things that would have to be fulfilled exactly. And then it's not up to interpretation at that point. You know, when it's given a literal exact date, you know, if it says something's going to happen March 25th, if it doesn't happen until June 4th, you can't say, well, it's a matter of interpretation. Now, it's a very literal statement. So there's a lot of prophecies like that, you know, it would be easy to prove if one of them was even a day off, then you'd have to say the Bible is illegitimate. And you can't trust the prophecies, but the Bible has 100% prophetic accuracy rating. Now the Bible has been held up to scrutiny for millennia, yet it's never been disproved. The thing about all this is it should be incredibly easy to disprove the Bible if it weren't true. All one would have to do is find one prophecy that did not come to pass when and how God said it would. Not using metaphorical interpretation or saying, yeah, but it's, you know, but just take an actual solid prophecy and show how it didn't come to pass. Many have tried, all have failed. Now, I don't... another thing in the comment section of that other video is people saying, well, you know, how can you be so arrogant, Josh? You're so arrogant when you talk about the Bible and, you know, you're full of pride. Look, I'm not boasting on myself here. You know, I believe in Christianity because it's this accurate. I'm boasting on God, if anything. You know, I mean, God gets all the glory there. This doesn't have anything to do with me. And again, I don't say these things to be insensitive or rude. I completely understand the allure of the New Age. However, once I was out of it and started seeing things clearly, I realized the reality behind all the things I was inherently interested in was found in the Bible, actually. All these topics were still found in the Bible, but there's biblical answers for them that make more sense than New Age answers. They correlate more with reality. Now, personally, I absolutely love prophecy. I love the idea that I have a book at my disposal that consistently tells the future before it happens, and that consistently tells me the words of God. Now, of course, the world will claim that it isn't true, but also offers no real evidence to back up that claim. Again, if the Bible were not true, it should be incredibly easy to disprove. Now, as I stated before, the purpose of this video, again, it's not to insult Ted Kirk Casey, to show disrespect to any person. I don't hate or hold anything against Casey personally. My belief is he was more of a victim. He was a deceived person who believed he was doing good and right by the world, just as I was when I was in the New Age. But who the forces of darkness were using towards their own ends. You know, I see people like Edgar Casey as prisoners of war rather than the enemy. The truth, the biblical truth, is that our true enemy is not each other. It's not other people. In essence, people aren't the problem. So Ephesians 6:12 teaches us who the true enemy is, and that it's a spiritual one. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Fallen angels and demons, those are our true enemy. They are the ones who are sowing discord amongst humanity. They are the true promulgators of deception. However, that does not let us off the hook either. We all have a personal responsibility to find the truth and to share it with others through God's lead. And that is my hope here. So the main reason for this study is the hope that there might be some people who are beginning to question New Age and want more information. It's not an attempt to prove myself right or slam people who subscribe to New Age beliefs. If you are into New Age theology, I don't hate you. I don't blame you. I don't judge you. I would be the biggest hypocrite in the world if I did. But instead, my only concern is to provide you with evidence of truth and hope you'll consider it seriously and logically. Now, if you want some more information on Edgar Casey's personal struggle with Christianity, New Age theology, the Bible, and more, you can go to christiananswersforthenewage.org/articles_EdgarCasey.html. You can check that out. You can check out my book, The Second Coming of the New Age, with Stephen Bancars. And also keep an eye out for Skywatch TV, because we have five programs talking about all of this stuff, one of them with Dr. Michael Heiser, who wrote the foreword to the book. So you'll want to check those out. All right, I hope that has helped. And please leave me a comment in the comment section. Whether you're a Christian or a New Ager, whether you love me or hate me, that's fine. Go ahead and leave a comment in the comment section, because I do read them, and I don't respond all the time, but I do read them, and I want to know what you think, and I want to give you the chance to voice your opinion, whether it's frustration with me or whether you agree or not. That's fine. Also, don't forget to check out joshpeckdisclosure.com. All right, thank you all so much, and until next time, take care and God bless.